Well, I hope you had a wonderful afternoon. We got to spend it with my family, and it was a delightful evening. Having lunch and kind of just sitting in the backyard enjoying the good weather. It was very, very relaxing. As was announced, we'll be gone this week, but we'll be back here next Sunday, and so we won't miss too much there. And look forward to being back with you. This evening, I wanted to go back to a lesson we did a couple weeks ago on Sunday evening called Why People Don't Believe in Jesus. And I wanted to cover this lesson for a number of reasons. Number one, I showed you these videos, and we're going to look at another one tonight. Because I wanted you to hear it right from the mouth of people explaining their unbelief in God. And I want us also not only to understand why people don't believe in God, I think that's an important understanding to have, but I want us to be able to understand an answer so that when we meet those people, we have an answer for them. We have a direction that we can go. We have a way in which we can talk to them as to the evidence of why we need to believe in Jesus. The unbelief in Jesus has gone in stages. Those that did not believe in Jesus back in the day used to at least try to discredit Jesus or the belief in Jesus using the Bible. Then there was those who said Jesus was real, he was a real man, but the story of him in the Bible was all made up. And now people are saying that he wasn't even a real man, that he never existed. And that's the way things go. They progress and they progress and they grow worse. So, in lesson number one, we talked about how a lot of people claim that they don't believe in Jesus because the only proof of Jesus is inside the Bible. That there is no proof outside the Bible. In fact, one man said, "Have you ever studied Jesus outside the Bible?" Well, we talked about how that simply is not true. That there is evidence by writers outside the Bible. And what is interesting is that even though these are not believers in Jesus, many of them not only mention Jesus, but confirm the very things that the Bible writes about him. But the reality is, if we were to study Jesus outside the Bible, we should not expect that we would come to the same conclusion of studying Jesus in the Bible, because those things are written by unbelievers. And yet, in saying that, as I talked about, many of them do mention the very acts, the very events in Jesus' life that are mentioned in the Bible. And then we talked about that many people don't believe in Jesus because they have been convinced that Christians are brainwashed. And there's a whole spectrum of range as to how people look at Christians, from brainwashed all the way to those who are mentally ill. And we talked about Joy Behar's comments and how she apologized for those comments, but that those are often a reflection of how a lot of people look at Christians and their faith in Jesus. You might remember that I tried to show you a video, and I'm going to try to show you that video again that broke, because I want you to see what Dr. Hagen here, how he says this. And to me, these are words a lot more scary than what Joy Behar said. And so he is starting off by talking about how someone has asked him to prove Jesus. And he says, how can I prove Jesus doesn't exist? You need to prove Jesus does exist. And then he'll go on from there to describe what he believes about people who believe in Jesus. So I'm going to let this run a little bit. You see? That's what we should be. And I asked him, I said, you're asking me to prove to you that there was no Adam, there was no Eve, there was no Noah. You're asking me to prove this to you. Did you ask your original teachers who taught you this to prove to you then that they existed?
No.
The answer is no. I didn't do it. I was raised with a belief system. I was raised in a belief system.
That doesn't mean there's not evidence.
And I accepted it. I digested it without ever verifying the existence of anybody I had been taught about. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
If you would be honest with me, you'd have to say, well, he is telling the truth.
He's telling the truth.
He's telling the truth, because that is right. We didn't stop to ask for proof. And we grew up believing it until somewhere in our psycho paradigm, it has become our reality. It has become our reality. That doesn't mean it's real, though.
Doesn't mean it's not.
It simply means it's our reality. Am I making sense so far?
Yes.
Cool. So what's deep is when you honestly believe that a person raised somebody from the dead, or when you honestly believe that somebody took two fish, five loaves of bread, and fed over 5,000 people. Got me? When you honestly believe that somebody broke God's laws of nature and walked on water. Now trust me, I am a psychotherapist by profession. Okay? And what we call the manual we use for determining psycho illness. Diagnostic manual. Thank you, brother. Okay? In there, there's a code that means if you believe something that is not in the context of fact and reality, you have a mental disorder. For example, if you believe that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you wouldn't even say it glows. If you believe that, as an adult, something's wrong. You follow me? Because that's not with fact, real, and reality is not historical. Okay? Religion has done that to us. It has us believing stuff that's got us messed up as a people.
So I think that video explains very well how people look at Christians as mentally ill. I found an interesting one. Just because you have faith in Jesus, just because you've been taught by Jesus, and even if you simply accepted that in your younger years because, well, that's the way I was raised, well, he seems to say that it's a far gone conclusion that there's no evidence. Well, there's a difference between asking someone to prove it and there's no evidence. And that's one of the problems. He seemed to think that just because you don't ask for evidence, that there is no evidence for the existence of Jesus. And I like this video because it explains very well the point that we were talking about last time, how people viewed Christians as mentally ill. But it also explains the third point that we want to talk about. And that is that people don't believe in Jesus because they don't believe in miracles. They believe that miracles cannot be proven with science. They are not in the realm of reality. They are not fact. And so they do not believe in
miracles. I found it interesting in his comments that he described a miracle as the belief of someone interfering with God's laws of nature. Did you catch that? He called it God's laws of nature. Well, wouldn't that be a miracle if God created those laws of nature? And if God created those laws of nature, couldn't God have the ability to suspend those very laws of nature? But you also see very well that our belief in Jesus and doing miracles is what? Is compared to, they see it as the same thing as believing, let's use today's, like in the Easter Bunny. Or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the interesting thing to me is he was talking to a group that at the very beginning of the video, when he said that Jesus wasn't real, what was taken back, they were aghast they would say that. But as he gets to this point, you can see they're just fully accepting this. They're just going along with the flow. Well, is that an apples-to-apples comparison to Jesus and the Easter Bunny? No, because there's no one in this world that's trying to say that the Easter Bunny is real and that we need to change our lives because of the Easter Bunny and what he's done for us. And to compare that type of fictional character to Jesus is ridiculous. And yet that's exactly what people do, and they think that that's somehow a good argument. People don't believe in Jesus because they don't believe in miracles. And let's face it, God says, the Bible tells us over and over in the Bible, that those miracles were from God, a testimony. God was testifying to us who Jesus was through those miracles, those signs, and those wonders. And so it makes perfect sense. If you don't believe in miracles, then you're not going to believe in Jesus because they're one of the evidences. And so people don't believe in Jesus because they don't believe in miracles. And this is one of the reasons that evolution has become so popular. Because it's a way of trying to explain the origins of everything we see around here absent the supernatural world. Absent anything beyond this world, especially miracles. When you deny miracles, you're going to have to accept evolution. Those are the only two answers out there. The only two possibilities that have been given as to how all this came about. But I want to ask you, is it good solid belief to believe in something simply because you don't want to believe in the other thing? Is it really that you believe in it, or is it more that you have to believe in it? And so people don't believe in Jesus because they don't believe in miracles. And this is also why science has become the unbeliever's Bible. We don't believe in miracles because science cannot prove those. They can't be proven by science. And that's all people are concerned about. If science can't prove it, if science can't do something with it, then it must not exist. And so they think it's ridiculous that we would believe that someone can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or that someone can walk on water. Science says that's impossible. But what they fail to realize is that their Bible, science, has limits. It's not the cure-all of all. Science was never intended to test
or to prove it never can, because it was never designed to test or to prove things outside this world. It has that limitation. But what they fail to realize is that just because science cannot test and therefore cannot prove things outside the world, that does not mean there aren't things beyond this world. In fact, God never claimed that miracles could be proven through natural means or through scientific investigation. That was not the line of evidence that God used to testify about Jesus or why he used those miracles. It was another type of evidence, and that was called eyewitness evidence. Eyewitnesses who saw the miracles, in which Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, talking about the miracle of Jesus being raised from the dead, tells us the evidence of that is that Jesus appeared to more than 500 disciples at one time. And in that evidence, Paul was not just trying to say, well, there's the evidence. But Paul expected that people might question that. And so he says, again in 1 Corinthians 15, some of them have passed away, but most of that 500 are still alive. You could test the evidence. You could question the eyewitnesses. And you'll find that they all saw the same thing. Their stories will match. And the thing is that eyewitness testimony is a credible evidence in this world. We use it every single day. We determine people's guilt or innocence. We also determine whether they're going to live or die sometimes. Sometimes cases are absent any scientific evidence and are based completely on eyewitness testimony. But somehow, for some reason, when we talk about whether Jesus exists, eyewitness testimony is not valid. Eyewitness testimony gets thrown out. And why is that? Well, I want to tell you why that is. Because if you allow that door to be open, then you allow for the existence of Jesus. And so when you deny the existence of Jesus, you have to keep that door closed. You cannot open that door. I want to go over to Matthew 12. Because I really think this story relates very well to what we're talking about here. You see, here's a story where Jesus performs a miracle. But his opponents refuse to believe that Jesus' miracles are done by the power of God. They will not leave that door open. They won't open that door. And so because they will not consider that perhaps the miracles of Jesus are done by God, by the power of God, they get themselves forced into a corner. So in Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, we read the following. Then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus, and he healed him so that the mute man spoke and saw. And all the crowds were amazed and were saying, "This man cannot be the son of David, can he?" Now notice the crowd's reaction. What are they doing? They just saw the miracle. And they're doing exactly what you're supposed to do with those miracles. They're meditating on them. They're questioning them. What could this mean? Could this be the son of David? Could this be the Messiah? Notice they're leaving that door, that possibility open.
But what about the Pharisees who want to keep that door shut? Verse 24, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "This man cast out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." And knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?" The answer that they give was completely ridiculous. It made no sense. It made no logic. It's the worst possible answer you could give to explain this, because in essence, Satan is fighting against himself. It doesn't make sense that Satan would send his demons to possess people and then cast them out. That defeats the very purpose of how he is working. And so Satan is fighting against Satan, and Satan is a lot wiser, a lot smarter than to do that. But you know what? To the Pharisees, it made complete sense. And that's what the brain does. The brain will protect itself. Once the brain says, "I will not open that door," you get forced into a corner to believe the most illogical things. And not only that, you will not deal with things on an open level or a logical level. And that's exactly what we see by those who don't believe in Jesus, because they don't believe in miracles. So here's a question. What can I say to someone like this? Well, what I try to say to them is I try to say, you actually do believe in miracles. No, I don't. I don't believe in miracles. Yeah, you absolutely do. And this is what I try to get them to think, the ramifications of what they really believe. So let's put it this way. Number one, most people who don't believe in Jesus don't believe in God. Wouldn't you agree with that? We're not talking about, oh, well, they believe in God but not Jesus. That's just not the case. They reject Jesus, they reject God. And so we're talking about not just a rejection of Jesus, we're talking about a rejection of the existence of God as well. Well, when you take that stand, when you shut the door to the existence of God, the existence of Jesus, where do you have to go? Well, if someone has asked you, okay, if God didn't create this world, then how did all of this come about? Well, what, in other words, was the first cause? And they have to believe one of two things. There are only one or two possibilities. They either believe in eternity, or they believe in miracles. Because when you have that first cause, everyone understands there was nothing. But according to evolutionists, all of a sudden there came to be something. And so you have to believe that something had to come from nothing. You know what that is? That's a miracle. Science never has proven that that can happen. Science has never shown that to happen. And that's exactly what I like to show people and try to get them to think. Isn't it funny how you reject Jesus because you think miracles are not possible, but then you have to, what? Accept evolution. It's the only other theory. And to believe in evolution, you have to believe in the first miracle. That something had to come
from nothing. So if my faith in Jesus, based on the testimony of miracles, makes me mentally ill, what does their faith that something came from nothing make them?
That seems kind of a logical way of dealing with it.
But that's what happens when you close that door to God. You back yourself into a corner. And that's what I like to try to get people to see. You're in a corner that doesn't make any sense. In a way, you're fighting against yourself. Now, the only other possibility, and I haven't heard anyone claim this, is if you simply don't hold to something had to come from nothing, then you have to believe it always existed. That matter is eternal. Again, science doesn't show that to be true.
Science hasn't proven that. But if that's what you believe, that matter is eternal, then how ridiculous is it for me to believe in a God that has no beginning and no end?
If that's ridiculous, why is believing matter is eternal not ridiculous as well?
That's what I would say.
You see, so often they believe they're on the higher ground. They're built on the solid evidence. But when you back them into that corner that they're already in, because they won't open that door, they need to have their eyes open to that. So what happens when you back them into that corner? What happens when an evolutionary scientist is backed into that corner? Well, what happens is they'll give it an answer that starts in the middle.
All right, no proof of those things, but this is what they'll claim. And we're going to use the recently deceased Stephen Hawking to explain starting in the middle. Stephen Hawking says, because there is a law such as gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. In other words, since there is a law of gravity that just simply naturally qualifies that the universe can create itself from nothing. Well, what's the problem with that statement? Well, number one, you can simply deal with, does gravity prove that? No, it doesn't. Could that be a possibility? Absolutely. But that's not the way they talk about it. They don't talk about it as a theory or possibility. He talks about it as fact. But there's a bigger problem with this statement. In this statement, he hasn't explained where the law of gravity came from. He has just taken it as, well, we all know the law of gravity is here. He starts in the middle. He starts as gravity already existed. He hasn't explained why we have gravity. The same thing can be said of the Big Bang Theory, a theory that says all these gases came around and there was some type of reaction that caused this Big Bang. Well, it's starting in the middle. Where did the gases come from? That's something. How do we get to that something when we had nothing?
And so I want us to understand why people don't believe in Jesus. I want you to hear it right from their mouth. And we looked at that video and you could just see how confident he was. He just thought he had it all wrapped up. He just thought he was speaking all sorts of logic and truth. But when you really tear it all down, when you back him into that corner,
who also seems ridiculous?
who believes in things outside of science, who believes in miracles. I hope we understand this, because our faith needs to stand on firm ground. 1 Peter 3, verse 15, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." One of the scary things is, as I research this, the answer that people that profess their faith in Christ, they have no answer. The world says Christians have blind faith. They believe it because they want to believe it. And there's Christians out there that are really kind of showing that's true. That can't be us. We've got to be able to give an answer for the hope that lies in us, the hope of our faith. And so I hope you will talk to someone who thinks you're ridiculous or brainwashed or even mentally ill. Because I'll tell you what, college professors aren't going to do it. The world isn't going to challenge them. If you don't do it, probably nobody will. But do it with gentleness and reverence. If you're subject to the invitation call of Jesus Christ in any way tonight, won't you come and make that known as together we stand and as we sing.